This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Republicans and the Democrats' reactions to the State of the Union address. The president kind of doubled down on calls for Congress to pass a mass amnesty for illegal immigrants deal while touting a drop in the numbers at the southern border from some of the historic highs seen during his administration. And of course, there were yells by some Republicans to secure the border, to which he said, let's also come together on immigration and make it a bipartisan issue. And of course, it has been a crisis. If you think of the numbers, a record 2.3 million migrant encounters and nearly 600,000, what they call gotaways, happened in 2022. So this was one area that was mentioned as part of the State of the Union address. There were, of course, high concerns about fentanyl coming across, and that was one of the things that the president did mention. He said, we now have a record of personnel working to secure the border, arresting 8,000 human smugglers and seizing over 23,000 pounds of fentanyl in just the last several months. And as he was pushing that, then there were some yells, you know, some heckling that came out of the joint chambers for the State of the Union address. And that wasn't the only thing that he talked about, and that wasn't the only thing that elicited some response from those that were in attendance of the State of the Union. He mixed in a lot of bipartisanship in the speech and talked about that, talked about things that had happened in the past, going back to the Bush administration. And he defended his record. He made a direct appeal to blue-collar workers, and he talked about the economy, touting the massive investment in infrastructure, and talked about how that was a bipartisan accomplishment. And there were some words that we had never heard said before in the State of the Union address. If you look back on so many of them in this almost 17 years that I've done this show, wow, which is so hard to believe, there was an interesting comparison that I saw of things that were said this time around to things that had, you know, never been said before. And looking at the breakdown, of course, there were mentions of COVID. And that's not a surprise. And he talked about the handling of COVID. And I think the speech was one where there were, again, moments of combativeness and moments where he just tried to really hearken to things that were bipartisan about working together, etc. There were some that really shook their heads. There were others just grinning when Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia called President Biden a liar when he discussed the Republican debt reduction plans during that State of the Union address. There were some others that booed the president, and some pointing fingers toward his position at the center of the House chamber, too, as well. And then that's when I think she jumped up and said, liar. And hours before the speech, Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, and other Republican leaders told lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, during their weekly conference meeting that all eyes would be on them as Biden delivered his State of the Union, according to some people who were in the room when this happened. And they reminded the Republicans that cameras are always on and microphones are always hot. And that he didn't want to have any outbursts. They were hoping they wouldn't have any outbursts. But about 40 minutes into the speech, it turned to one of the most contentious current topics facing Congress. Halfway through the speech, seemed like there was kind of a little bit of swagger going on. He looked to the Republican sitting in the chamber to his left and chided them kind of for lack of specificity in their approach to cutting the budget, which was wild to see. He said, "They're the facts. Check it out. Check it out." And then again, like I said, there were some heckling moments that happened. Biden mentioned potential cuts to Social Security and Medicare and how some Republican-backed proposals could lead to cuts in entitlement programs. And that probably triggered one of the most disruptive moments of the night and loud protests that have been sort of kept at bay, if you will, for lack of a better way to describe that, for much of the speech. That was just completely, unleashed after that. There were, secure the border, China spying on us, all kinds of things that were, shouted out. And at one point, Biden said, "So tonight let's agree, and apparently we are, and stand up for seniors, stand up and show them we will not cut Social Security, we will not cut Medicare. Those benefits belong to the American people. They earned it. If anyone tries to cut Medicare, I'll stop them, I'll veto it, but apparently it's not going to be a problem." So this speech will be analyzed all week long. We'll have snippets of it coming up on our next show. And how does it affect you and me? I mean, that's the key thing. What are the promises that come out of the State of the Union address? And what are the things that are threatening that can come out of maybe a State of the Union address? Or is it just a big pomp and circumstance kind of event that really leads nowhere and becomes a cheerleading fest and also a chance to get some attention as well? All right, the death toll now, really 8,000 is the latest that I'm hearing. Rescuers fighting horribly bitter cold temperatures. And the race against time, when we're talking about the death toll in Turkey and Syria because of that earthquake, 400 buildings collapsed, 1,300 severely damaged. There were wonderful stories of some survivors and sad stories of those who just didn't make it. They didn't have a chance. They didn't have a prayer because they were pancaked by the building that they were in. And there's lots of conversation about that. And there have been many Americans who have reached out. And there are American teams on the ground along with others from other countries who are helping as part of the search and rescue teams. And they've found people within the last handful of hours. So there is always that hope that there's an air pocket somewhere and somebody will survive this, more than finding, sadly, those bodies and the death toll that keeps adding up. Coming up, what I like to call odds and ends.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
By the way, we're going to take you to Australia, not Australia, actually, to New Zealand. That's on my list of places to go. In fact, Christchurch, for a conversation with Pieta Valentine. What's so interesting about her is this is a woman who has been in, I'll call it, the dementia field for the last 8 to 10 years, and she has this incredibly comprehensive book that is part novel, part epilogues and reports that really have you walking away with information of what to do if you're in that situation, what can relatives do. And there were some really revealing things in our conversation that I took note of, thinking, if I should have to deal with this ever. I had an aunt who had dementia, and I watched, and it's so hard because you want to, you feel helpless, and there's so many people that deal with this and become caretakers, and what can they do? How can you help the person that you love, right? It's the past, that so much of the past they remember, and then everything else gets lost, and what happens to those people. So that's a great conversation. And then we're going to talk to Patricia Clear as well, and she has some interesting things to say in dealing with not being heard, with dealing with abusive emotional situations. And those are things that people sweep under the rug, but then how does that come to, how does that pour out of you as you get older, and how does that pour out of you when you have a family? And you definitely want to hear what she has to say to close out the show. All right, so for odds and ends, boy, we've been talking about this crazy up and away balloon, right? The Chinese satellite balloon, which is so ridiculous. The Chinese wanting us to believe it's not a spy balloon. No, it's not a spy balloon. It just went off course. there's ways to control it, and it just happened to be in the areas that we needed it to be in. So we know that already. We're beyond that. But the new images of the balloon recovery, wow, this thing, this sucker was really big. This, they used some Navy sailors were assigned to this, right, to recover this high-altitude surveillance balloon that was shot down off the coast of Myrtle Beach. And the FBI was part of this effort, and there was a survey ship because they can map the seabed, which is fascinating in itself. But some of the new photos that have come out, the Navy sailors dragging the deflated balloon and parts of the structure into this inflatable boats off the North Carolina coast. I mean, huge. And we, you know, we knew it was like giant buses, like three giant buses. But how do you handle that material? And they know how to handle it. That's why they were part of that mission. Because who knows? I mean, what, how do the crews proceed? Are they going to encounter any kind of hazardous objects? Is there going to be shards of a solar panel glass or batteries or who knows, you know, what they would find? The balloon itself is 200 feet tall, and it had equipment measuring about the size of a jetliner. Of a regional jetliner. So how much do you think that sucker weighed? 2,000 pounds. Yes. 2,000 pounds. The debris field, 1,500 meters by 1,500 meters in 50 feet of water. The grid was able to pull all that out. So, of course, there's the oceanography survey ship. They have to do what they have to do so you can see where the debris splashed down and sank. And ever since it was shot down on Saturday and where it went and the arguments of when it should have been shot down and everything else. I mean, listen, spy balloons are different from satellites and drones. And so what is it about the balloons, like why the balloons? And the deal is that some of these past incursions by Chinese balloons were undetected by the Pentagon. So, hey, if they had similar surveillance balloons in the past and they weren't spotted, well, then, of course, it's a successful way to go. And because of the previous balloon flights, why not try it again? So, I mean, look, the Defense Department acknowledged, first of all, that it was shot down after days-long journey across the U.S. mainland. But they also admitted it's the fifth time in recent years that Beijing has breached the airspace, the nation's airspace, using this kind of technology. There were breaches over Texas, Florida, Hawaii, and Guam. And they weren't detected. So, I mean, even you had the general who oversees the North American Aerospace Defense Command say that we're aware that there is this gap and we got to figure it out. So, I mean, of course the Chinese are going to deny everything. It worked. It worked once, it worked twice, it worked a few times. So because it worked, that's exactly why it was used again. It's like such a strange, it is such a strange story, isn't it? You know why they're used, because they're effective, because of how they can maneuver. But what did the balloon see? And will we be able to figure any of that out? And of course, that just makes the relationship with China that much worse. And we know that. But what goes up has to come down. Usually sooner rather than later, but the fact that it went down is a good thing. It had to come down. There's no doubt about that. All right, I have to give a shout out to LeBron James. He passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to set the NBA's all-time scoring record. We knew that was going to happen. You know, Abdul-Jabbar, wow, 38,387 points in fewer games with a higher scoring average and at a younger age. But now it's LeBron's, and this is truly an incredible record when you think of it. I mean, it is. And he is an incredible player. I feel very fortunate to have covered games that he was a part of and have some of those quick conversations that you have, and very few, though. And to also have seen him play, to watch him do what he does so well, which is pummel his opponents, outfox them, and score. I mean, he's a scoring machine. That's why he has that. That's why he has that record now. You know, I talk about the balloon and what in the world, but what in the world in the skies? Now you've got, you know, the members of Congress that are gearing up to come up with this long-term funding bill for the Federal Aviation Administration, and they're pretty frustrated over what's happening, that the fact that the safety and management issues are going on with the outrage of a pilot warning system that led to a shutdown of the airspace last month. Then we had an incident Saturday in Austin where FAA air traffic controllers cleared a FedEx plane to land on the same runway where a Southwest plane, a passenger jet, was taking off. They came within 100 feet of each other. Then you had another near miss last month at JFK in New York. I mean, this is, like, supposedly we just are coming off of one of the safest decades in the history of flying, and clearly the aviation system is in need of urgent attention, right? Because you don't want to get on a plane and think, well, doesn't it look like that plane is coming pretty close to us? I mean, there seems to be some problems here with oversight and I think a few other things in between. I mean, the failure to make information in the NOTAM warnings more digestible by pilots is scary to me. You know, that being the big problems that contributed to, we've seen this contribute to problems in the past. And to have air disasters that are just, how many feet between planes? You know, the vital NOTAM alert about a closed parallel runway. They don't have that importance of that information that's conveyed. So to me, this is a serious crackdown is what it needs. NOTAMs, schmodems. We get on a plane, whether you know the lingo or not, you want to be feeling you have at least more than a 50% chance, a 60% chance, a 75% chance of getting from point A to point B without being rattled or worse. Meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. Michael Jackson's estate is preparing to make a massive deal for half of his catalog. TMZ is reporting Michael Jackson's estate is considering selling a 50% interest for nearly $900 million. There appears to be a talk of a sale happening between the estate and Sony, which is Jackson's long-term label. A Memphis police officer is under fire after he texted photos of a beaten and bloodied Tyree Nichols to at least five people. Video footage of Nichols' fatal arrest was released last month, which showed officers repeatedly kicking, hitting, and tasing him before propping him up against a police car. Kevin Durant is looking for some answers regarding the direction of the Nets franchise in the aftermath of the Kyrie Irving trade. Durant has been engaged in conversations with general manager Sean Marks on the direction of the franchise and its ability to be a championship contender. According to ESPN, Brooklyn has assisted to Durant in acquiring teams, so the organization had no intention of moving him prior to Thursday afternoon's trade line. Julio Flores, USA.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Tell you how excited I am to introduce you to Pieta Valentine. She joins us from New Zealand. Her book is called The Resident's Voice from a Dementia Unit. And again, we're thrilled to have her on America Tonight. How often have we talked about dementia and what it's like to deal with family members? And imagine the stories that she has to tell that she wraps into a novel with these really interesting characters and then shares with you things that you'll be able to do if you're in this situation in dealing with anyone that you love in your life that has dementia. There's so much more to it than I think we know. Pieta, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate.
We got to tell everybody about your background because you have an incredible background. You were, honestly, it's like what you told me off the air, you were built to do this.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for acknowledging that. I appreciate it.
So you come from a family of doctors and whatnot. How did you end up specializing in dealing with people that are dealing with dementia?
Well, I had a physiotherapy practice 25 years working with occupational low abuse syndrome, RSI, OS, and all the muscle tension and mental tension that goes with that. So mental stress was always a very interesting aspect. But after 40 years as a physiotherapist, I thought, you know, it's good to do something new. And I just sort of fell upon this dementia work, which I really enjoyed. And from a physiotherapist perspective, there's always the interest of rehabilitating the patient. But if not that, at least enabling them to manage to the best of their ability. So that is the attitude I went into in the unit. When I saw all these people shut down and shut off, I thought, surely something can be done. And so from there, just, you know, quietly I worked away on this work, and all of which is explained in the book.
Yeah, and let's talk about the book, because it's so unique the way that you've created it. It is a novel, but it has these other parts in it as well that you share with people what they can do. So talk about how you designed the book.
Okay, so the first half of The Resident's Voice, I've actually written two books, one after the other, but the first half of The Resident's Voice is a novel about the characters in the dementia unit based on my observations and experiences over many years. But it goes through the story of them being able to build up their thinking capacity, build up their concentration, their communication skills, and finally developing their own unique community. So these wonderful characters are in the novel. The central four or five pages is the report on the academic work. And then the last half is all the physiotherapy techniques that family and friends can do to help their loved ones with dementia in a very practical, positive way.
Yeah. Let's talk about a couple of the characters. I was drawn to Resident Jane, which makes sense because I'm, I guess, sporty.
And oh, that's right. Yes.
tell us about Jane and what Jane is like.
Oh, the character in the book?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the character in the book. Well, she's very thirsty, of course. She's very bright, but I actually had to become like a sports coach with her. That was the best way, you know, in the story. You know, say this, it's Daisy, isn't it, who's the protagonist. Okay.
Yes.
So she's like, has to develop a sports coach approach with Jane, because Jane was very good at skating. She was very ice skating. She was very good at, golf, tennis. She was extremely sporty, and so she loved high motivation and that sort of team approach. And so that's the way that Daisy had to deal with her, you know. And Jane worked very, very hard. She was extremely hardworking with the work that they did together. And because of that, they had the breakthroughs, and Jane was able to say finally, when she was in one of her sort of anxious, high anxiety, angry dementia episodes, Daisy managed to break through and said, what's happening, because she needed to know what was happening in the dementia experience. And Jane finally said, fuzzy brain, fuzzy mind. And that was when Daisy realized, okay, I know what to do now. It's a stressed out, super stressed out mind. We can deal with this.
And there is so much to that, right? It's being able to relate to the person on their level. So the more you can dig out, the
yes.
better you can connect to them.
Absolutely. Yes.
And you also talk about Resident Jack, and based on, you know, your experiences. So tell us about Resident Jack.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes you come across the most amazingly intelligent men and women in these dementia units. Memory gone, direction orientation gone, wouldn't know where they are in the street or where their home is, but their past memory is immaculate. And Jack is one of these characters. And so all the wisdom and knowledge, but also the wonderful thing is if you can connect with someone who's still got a wonderful, a good past memory, their present memory is completely gone. That's what happens in dementia. Present memory gone, past memory still good. But if they have the right environment, as the Jack-type character did, Jack can then explain to, like, Daisy and staff members the help that the other residents in the dementia unit need, who haven't got a voice to explain what they need.
Wow. And, you know, there's more, too, as well. There's some other characters. We won't tell everybody everything. But how unique in putting this together. And you told us about also the epilogues and writing the epilogues, the practical techniques on how relatives can best help a relative in a dementia unit. So give us some tips on that. What can people listening do?
Okay, I will do that. So this is for if someone's institutionalized with dementia. Actually, the relative has to orientate pretty much as the actual person in the unit, especially if they haven't been in a hospital before or haven't worked in a medical environment. You know, it's a completely different world, really. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to adjust to. And I think that's why I've written the book, actually. I've explained everything about the routine of a dementia unit, all the staff and what they do, how you recognize them, the security codes, how to set up the room, you know, how to fill out the forms. It's an enormous amount to do if someone goes into the dementia unit. And if you can know a lot of that information in advance, it won't be such a shock to the system for the relative, you know, and if the relative's settled, then they'll be able to help the person that's going in more likely.
Yeah, wow, that's obviously that's such a great, huge, huge tip for people. For you writing this, what was the most challenging aspect?
The most challenging aspect?
Yes.
Well, I suppose the report, to be honest, that's the first, but bringing this work into essence is a huge body of work. Bringing it into an understandable, relatable format is a huge body of work. And so that's the report at the central part of this, The Residents' Voice, and the second book, The Residents' Rise. And then everything flows from that. The essence of the work being that these people still have a working intellect, even though their memory's faded or gone or finished. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's so that's what's so tough for everybody. Pietro, tell us a little bit about the report.
Oh, okay. Well, look, okay. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, the report. Okay. So that was built from the fact when I started to realize that these people could still actually think, and you could encourage that. From a physiotherapy perspective, I was encouraging them and motivating them to concentrate, just as I would in my physiotherapy practice encourage patients to concentrate on the exercises and do their exercises. I was encouraging these people to think and concentrate and contribute and communicate, and expecting them to, and saying that they actually had to. If they were in the group, there was that expectation that they had to start communicating. This took a long time. The concentration took a lot of time to build up. That's the hardest thing. But once people with dementia had learned the technique to be able to concentrate, reading being a very big part of this, by the way, then you can actually build up the skills of confidence and communication from that.
Oh, I love that. Reading being such a big part of
reading.
It.
Reading. Yes, because thanks, Kate. You go into these dementia units, 30 people, one newspaper, no books, no magazines. How can you keep up any limited reading skills that you once had or any reading skills if there's no literature to read? And they've got no iPads or computers. I mean, they've got no input. They need quality input. They need newspapers, magazines, libraries, good Netflix, David Attenborough, The Crown, their history, the royal family. They need lots of beautiful, wonderful input so that their intellect and thinking can be activated and worked on, used, so they can have quality of life and think.
Yeah, I love that you told us that. I can't remember ever hearing that from anybody. What is the takeaway or takeaways you'd like people to have from reading The Residents' Voice from a dementia unit?
Well, I think the main thing is that, you know, so much can be done in a positive, practical way. So much can be done in a positive, practical way to help. And that's all outlined in the book. Yeah.
Wow.
And people will come up. Once people start doing these techniques and seeing the return, you know, I mean, it's not easy. It's not always easy. Some people are a lot more difficult than others. Some people are angry, some depressed, some anxious. And actually, I've done a lot of work on that. The second book, second lot of epilogues, The Residents' Rise, that's why I wrote that book, to deal with those aspects of anger, anxiety, and depression. But once you can work through that, you know, the return you get is fantastic, and you come up with your own ideas as well. Your own creative juices start to work, you'll find, once you start to apply these techniques.
Well, I suggest everybody go and get this and have it handy and know the ways that you can interact as well with people, and especially if you're in this situation. The Residents' Voice from a Dementia Unit, Pietro Valentine, thank you so much for joining us. You can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Hey,
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
The name of the book is Shut Up, Your Words Are Killing Me. Its author, Patricia Clear, joins us. She's in our virtual green room, and she's really an interesting woman and has weaved together a fascinating tale. Wait till you hear about one of her main characters, well, really her main character, Sherry Glass, and what she's been through. Patricia, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
What was it that motivated you to write the book? Why'd you write the book?
I was inspired to write the book because of my own circumstances in my life. The overwhelming journey that I have been through since childhood and coming up, and then having my own experience with men, parents, family, and all of a sudden, 2010, I came out of my bed and sat up in my bed, and all the things that was going on through my mind, it just kind of came out of my spirit. Shut up, your words are killing me. And I fell in love with it, and I put it on the computer. And next thing I know, it took a journey on its own.
Was it satisfying to write the book? Was it challenging? What was that process like?
A little bit of both. It was satisfying because it's therapeutic. And it helped me to, I would say, I use the word vomit out, I would say. I mean, really opened myself up to express myself because no one was really around to listen. No one heard me. So it was nice that I was able to express and bring Sherry Glass to life so she can walk in how I feel. And Tina, let them exactly kind of understand how I feel. It was really nice, but it was painful. It was painful because in the beginning, starting to write, I start crying. I start feeling overwhelmed and remembering a lot of things that happened at the same time. Just thinking about any and everyone else. Yeah.
So in thinking about everyone and everyone else and pouring it into these characters, tell the listeners about Sherry Glass. Don't tell us everything, but what, Patricia, will we learn about Sherry Glass and her journey?
Sherry is a wonderful person, but she's hard-headed. She's stubborn. You know, she kind of had to pick up her own personality, where everybody really wanted her to be something. She fought to be something else, somebody, a different person other than everyone else. So she became a follower and a leader. So she's still going through her journey. So I know that people that read this book will enjoy it and be inspired for the fact that she's praying and she's doing everything that she can while she's praying and trying to follow the directions that she believes is the right way. While her sister tried to guide her and say, no, that's not the way. But both of them are learning at the same time.
Yeah. And so is Tina really different from Sherry, or do they have some things in common?
Tina's a little different. Tina, she is more of, she was more of that person to say, no, let's stay positive. Let's be motivated. But she fell into her own problems too. But she was always looking at her sister with another eye to say, well, no, it shouldn't happen this way, Sherry. And Sherry was, no, it should happen. So they're kind of tug of war and back and forth with each other. Yeah, they have their little different personalities.
What do you hope people take away from reading your novel?
I hope that people, be inspired in the fact that there is the Bible verse in the book, and as they read it, they realize that whatever Sherry was going through, you can read the verses that that adds to the chapter of her story, letting everybody know that while you're walking through your journey or going through your tunnel or going through your madness, whichever way, you know, you would like to put it, that you always can find faith and you can pray and you can just believe and keep pushing no matter how hard life gets. Just keep pushing and always remember that God is with you no matter what. He's there. You know, Christ is there. You can always call on him, scream at him, just talk to him, or even in a coma, your spirit is still there. You can say something, I mean, to him. So I just want people to be inspired and, have a warm feel of maybe Sherry, whatever she has went through, or Tina, whichever one that they're reading, that hopefully they can get and say, you know what? She's like me. If she can do it, I can do it. The Bible verse of what she went through on like just different things that's in there, and you can go back and say, okay, well, you're right. The mother shouldn't do this because this is what the words say, or she went through this, but this verse connects with this circumstances. You know, just hold on.
Oh, I like that. You know, it's so interesting in talking with you, Patricia Clear. As I said, you can get the book Shut Up, Your Words Are Killing Me on Barnes & Noble, Amazon. The title is so good. It just nails it. How'd you come up with that title?
Like I said, in 2010, with all the things that was going on in my life itself, like I said, I had no one to talk to. And it felt like those that I was trying to talk to, they were talking at me, around me, about me. It don't matter. And no one was listening. So, and then so much that was going on around that time, it was a death of a loved one. And I just kind of wake up out of my bed and sat up and my mind was just going. And I think we experience where our mind is just, there's so much going on in our head. And before I know it, I screamed out that morning, shut up, your words are killing me. And when I screamed out, like I said, I went to the computer, wrote it on paper, looked at it over and over, and I said, I like this. It took on its own journey.
Yeah. And after this journey and putting this book together and inspiring so many people, will you do another book?
I'm writing still. I'm writing right now. I've been thinking about bringing Sherry into another adventure. I'm not sure what will happen. But, yes, I wrote it back down again, and I'm still trying to get it together in my head. But I have other books that I'm inspired to, that I would love for it to come out.
Ooh. It just gives me goosebumps to think about it. And for you, coming through everything that you dealt with as a child, dealing with, and you mentioned it, parents, family, men. How do you feel now? How do you feel at this point in your life?
Right now, I'm at peace. I am at peace because whatever it was going through, all I can do is leave it to God. I'm more relaxed. A little lonely sometimes, but because I stay to myself. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be at peace with my own thoughts than crowded. I'm being around a lot of crowds screaming and hollering at me. So right now, I am in a good place.
What a perfect place to end this conversation. Shut Up, Your Words Are Killing Me, the name of the book. And, boy, what an inspiring conversation, that's for sure. Thanks so much for coming on this show, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of it. And remember, words do matter, and make it count, everybody.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.